Will you please turn to 2 Timothy? Second letter to Timothy. Chapter 1, the second part of verse 12. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12, we begin with the second part. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. May I repeat? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts do rejoice that thou hast given us thy beloved Son, and through thy Son we have ready access to thy throne of grace. How we praise and thank thee, we have the assurance that thou art here with us. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt open thy word to us by thy Spirit, speak to our hearts, and draw us to thyself. Because without thee, Lord, thou knowest, we cannot stand, we cannot even live. Oh, how we do need thee, desperately. So again, we just commit this time into thy hands, and trust thy Holy Spirit to do the work, to the praise of thy glory. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe we all know that 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before his martyrdom. We know that after he was released from Rome, as we find in Acts chapter 28, we know that Paul was in Rome, and there he was for 2 years, and he was able to preach the kingdom and teach the things about the Lord Jesus unhinderedly. Now, most likely after 2 years, he had a hearing with the emperor and he was acquitted. And after his acquittal, he was able to travel again, visiting different places for a few years. But then, you know, the situation completely changed. Because in 64 A.D., Nero, he burned the city of Rome. And after the city of Rome was burned, he put the blame upon the Christians. So from that time onward, to be a Christian is considered as a criminal. And because of this, Paul was arrested once again. And he was taken back to Rome, not as before, because when he was in Rome before, he was able to stay in his rent apartment, receive people, preach the gospel, and teach the Lord Jesus unhinderedly. But this time, when he was taken again, he was a criminal in the eyes of the Roman Empire. He was in chains. And knowing that his end was coming, he wrote this last letter to his son in the Lord, Timothy. So we can say that this letter is the last will and testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now, when you considered his situation, it was really a very painful situation. because he was there in Rome as a prisoner, a criminal, and he was soon to be sentenced to death. But when you read this second letter to Timothy, you find that his spirit was high. In spite of all the conditions surrounding him at that moment, you find he rose above all these conditions. Not only he was able to stand for the Lord, you remember in 2 Timothy he mentioned that all Asia had left him. During his first defense, all deserted him. He was alone. But the Lord was with him, and he was able to stand firm for the Lord, for the testimony of Jesus, to the very end. The gospel that was entrusted to him was a glorious gospel. And you find that he was able to carry on to the very end. Now, brothers and sisters, my question is, what made Paul firm, strong, faithful to the very end? Certainly it was not his will, even though he did have a very strong will. But no will could stand such situations. We would like to discover the secret of the Apostle Paul. And I believe the secret is in his proclamation. He said, "I know whom I have believed, and am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." That was the secret. Now, brothers and sisters, do you think that our time is different from the time of the Apostle Paul? The world hasn't changed. Our enemy is still here. Even though we are in the 20th century, towards the end of the 20th century, time-wise, it was so far apart from Paul's time, that is, towards the latter part of the first century. But dear brothers and sisters, we are still living in very difficult days. In many parts of the world, we find to be a Christian, it is considered as a criminal. Now, even though we who are here do not suffer physical persecutions, and yet we know the pressure around us is tremendous. Especially when we are coming to the closing of this age, the pressure is very great. We too are like the Apostle Paul, are entrusted with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We too are faced with the same enemy that Paul faced at his time. How are we going to go through this life and be faithful for the Lord and for his testimony to the very end? In Paul's time, we find all Asia left him. At his defense, everybody deserted him. Why? Because people were afraid. People want to preserve their own lives. Brothers and sisters, when we look around, we can see apostasy around us. Because the time is so difficult, the pressure is so great, Many God's people have compromised. Many have fallen. So our question, our urgent question is, how can we go through triumphantly, like the Apostle Paul? If we try to depend upon ourselves, we will fall. We need to find the power, the strength, the secret. So I do believe that it is very urgent for us to find in this day the secret of perseverance. Now with the Apostle Paul, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Now, do we know whom we have believed? We know this word know here is oida, which means a personal, experimental, experiential knowledge of the one whom we know. It is not just an objective, impersonal, historical knowledge, mental knowledge that we accumulate, but it is a personal, experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And here you find the Apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed. He does not say, I know what I have believed. Now, of course, it is important to know what you believe. But what you believe is historical. What you believe is truth, teaching, doctrine. That's what you believe. What you believe, to use one word, is the faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, whatever is in this book, in the Word of God, that's what constitutes our faith, the faith once delivered to the saints. And it is true that we have to contend for the faith that we have believed. That's true. It is important. But dear brothers and sisters, if we all know is what we believe and do not come to know whom we believe, we will not be able to get through in these difficult days. What we believe is essential, but that's objective. That is foundational. But from what we believe, we have to enter into whom we believe. And only when we enter into whom we believe, we will find the power, the strength, the perseverance. For instance, we believe in justification by faith. From the time of Reformation, justification by faith is the truth. And it is a truth that has been accepted very widely. But you can believe in justification by faith mentally, and you are not justified. I believe many who come from Christian families have this problem. Because we are brought up in Christian families, we believe what is taught in the Bible. We have been taught from our childhood. And somehow mentally, we accepted all the truth that are being taught to us. And yet, brothers and sisters, we do not experience justification until one day we come in touch with the one who is the justifier, and not only the justifier, but he is our justification. Now, it is true, justification is by faith. Abraham was justified, was reckoned as righteous because he believed in God. He was reckoned as righteous. He was counted as righteous. But remember, it is not his faith that makes him righteous. We are justified by faith, but it is not our faith that justifies us. It is by believing in the Lord Jesus, the person that justifies us. Our faith is only the means to an end. It is the hand that receives the gift of God. Faith is important, but faith is just receiving what God has provided for us, and that is His beloved Son. So we are justified by faith. But it is not a doctrine. It is not a teaching. You may have the creed. If you are Lutheran, there is the creed there. Justification by faith. But you may not be justified if you do not see the Lord Jesus as the one who is your justification. After you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior, you know whom you believe, and then the what becomes effective, operative. Now, I think we all have this experience. And when you come to the truth, in the Word of God, you'll find every truth is like that. You may believe that when Christ died on the cross, you died with Him because you were in Him. Christ died on the cross not only for our sins, but He died for us. He died not only as our substitute, He died as our representative. Well, we may have heard of such teaching, and we may even have read it in the Bible. We may even receive it mentally as truth. But brothers and sisters, you do not experience victory over the power of sin until one day you touch the Lord Jesus. Until one day you touch Him. And when you see Him, that you are in Him, and when He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, that's when you were dead. And when you really see Him with your spiritual eyes, then, brothers and sisters, you'll find the doctrine becomes living. The teaching became active and operative, and you begin to experience victory over the power of sin. Now, it is not the teaching that gives you the power. It is the life, the risen life, the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus that is the power of victory. It is whom you believe, not just what you believe. What you believe will not carry us through. When everything is smooth, when there is no test, no contest, everything seems to be fine. But when test shall come, when trials shall come, then brothers and sisters, you will see the difference of what you believe and whom you believe. Because what is just telling you whom to believe? The Apostle Paul says, I know whom I believe. Now that is the assurance. brothers and sisters, the one thing that we all need is to know Him. You remember the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. To know Him is the passion, the one passion in Paul's life. How we need to have that one passion, to know Him. Above all things, brothers and sisters, it is not enough just to know certain teachings, certain doctrines, certain truths, however important they are, because they are the foundation. But just to stay on that level is not enough. You have to move into knowing Christ Himself. We need to know Him as our Savior, know Him as our Lord, know Him as our Shepherd, know Him as our friend. And you see, God arranges circumstances of our life. God allows us to go through all kinds of circumstances, sometimes prosperity, sometimes adversity. Now, why is it that God allows us to go through all these circumstances? As a matter of fact, it is the Holy Spirit who arranges all our circumstances. We believe that we who are the Lord's, even our very hair has been numbered. So all our circumstances are arranged by the Holy Spirit. And why does He arrange various circumstances in our lives? Is to bring what we believe into whom we believe. To make what we believe living, operative, life, reality to us. It is important, therefore, brothers and sisters, that we know whom we believe. The more we know Him in a personal, experiential way, the better. You know, in church history, we all know this man, Polycarp. Polycarp was the bishop of Smyrna. And during that persecution time, he was captured. And because of his advanced age, the proconsul wanted to save his life. So the proconsul told Polycarp, if you only swear upon the genius of Caesar, if you revile Christ, you will be released. And Polycarp answered and said, for 86 years, I have served my Lord and Savior. He has done nothing but good to me. And how can I deny Him? And Polycarp was burned to death. Now in church history you find many stories about these martyrs. How they were tested, and the only reason why they were able to get through is because they know whom they have believed. We may not be called all to be dead martyrs. That is, to die for Christ and for His testimony. But we know that we are all called to be living martyrs. You know, the word martyrs and the word witness are the same word. We are all called to be witnesses of Christ. We have all been entrusted with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And God expects us, each one of us, to be living martyrs. If anyone wants to live piously, he will be persecuted in this world. Because the tender mercies of the wicked is cruel. Brothers and sisters, this is our calling. We are called with a holy calling. We are called to be living martyrs. We are called to live for Christ. We are called to stand for the testimony of Jesus in this world. And because of this calling, the enemy will not leave us alone. He is the same enemy. He will try to trip us, to trap us, to ensnare us. He will try to keep us compromised. And it is very important for this reason that we have to have a deep knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know Him. And to know the power of His resurrection. This is the secret. So, brothers and sisters, do not be contented just with a superficial knowledge of Christ. That is to say, we just know about Him. We may accumulate quite a lot of knowledge about Him. We may hear lots of teachings, lots of preachings. We may know lots of teachings. We may know the Word. Thank God for that. It is important. But brothers and sisters, we have to press on to know Him. That ought to be the one passion of our life. In every circumstance, learn to know Him. When we are in trouble, learn to know Him, who is the solution to all our problems. When we are even in prosperity, learn to know Him, that we know how to live in prosperity. As a matter of fact, it is even more difficult to live in prosperity for Christ than in adversity. Oftentimes, when we are in adversity, we have to come to Him. We have to draw near to Him because we know there is no other way out. But when we have prosperity, peaceful, smooth, everything is fine, brothers and sisters, we tend to drift away from Him. We tend to be contented. We will lose our eagerness, our desire to know Him. So may the Lord really stir within us a strong desire to know Him. Brothers and sisters, the more you know Him, the more you want to know Him, the more you know that you do not know Him enough. Now, whenever you feel that you have known Him quite well, that is the beginning of your fall. Because the more you know Him, the more you know you do not know Him. And you want to know Him more. So we have to press on towards the goal, to know the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, only those who know Him in a personal way, to know Christ not only as Savior, but as their very life, they are able to get through. And history has proven to us. Now to know Him. And He said, and I'm fully persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Now these two things are closely related. If you know Him, you will be committed to Him. You cannot know Him without being committed to Him. If there is any problem with your commitment to Him, it shows that you do not know Him as you should. You know, commitment is a big thing in life, even in the secular world. If there is no commitment, you go nowhere. You have to be committed to something. Maybe to a profession, maybe to a course, maybe to a dream, but you have to have a commitment. Now, if you are committed to a certain goal, then you'll find your life has meaning to it, because you will pursue that which you are committed, and there is a possibility of success. Now, if you are not committed to anything, then you are a drifter. Throughout your life, you are just pushed by the forces around you, and you never accomplish anything because you are never committed. In this world, if you want to succeed, you have to be fully committed. Committed to a dream, a vision that you have, a goal. Otherwise, you won't succeed. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is true in the world, how much truer it is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, commitment is very, very essential. But we are not committed to a cause. Many are committed to a cause, and some even may be willing to die for that cause. But brothers and sisters, we have something far greater than a cause. We are committed to a person. We are committed to Him, to Christ, and to His purpose, to His will. That is what we are committed to. But unfortunately, among God's people, you find this is one thing that is very much lacking. In the world, you find many people who are committed. But when you come to the church, when you come to among God's people, it is very strange. You find there are very few who are truly committed. They commit their all to the one who is their all. You'll find very few. Now, why is it? Is it because we do not know Him enough? Use an illustration. You have committed to Him once, at least, for your salvation. You try to save yourself, you cannot. You come to the point that you know you are hopeless and helpless. Then you heard a gospel that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. He died on the cross for your sin. If you only believe in Him, He will forgive you. He will give you eternal life. And brothers and sisters, isn't it at that time you commit yourself to Him for your salvation? You know you cannot save yourself. He is the only one who can save you. So you commit yourself to Him and ask Him to forgive your sins, to save you, and He did. You know, believe is a commitment. Believe is not just something mentally. Believe is a commitment. You believe and you commit yourself to Him. Accept Him as your Savior. It's a commitment. But strangely, after our initial commitment, we do not go on in this way of commitment. Now, why is it so? I think there are probably two reasons. One reason is You only know Him as your Savior. That's all you know. And because you only know Him as your Savior, therefore you only commit your sins to Him. And that's all. And other than sins, you do not commit to Him. You still trust your own self. And because of this, you find there is no further commitment. It's because that's all you know about Him. Now, if you know Him more, then brothers and sisters, you will commit more. You know, commitment is measured by your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I think there's another reason why we do not commit ourselves. It is because of the fear of the flesh. You know, our flesh, our natural man, only trusts in himself or herself. We do not trust anybody. Suspicion is an instinct, human instinct. We are afraid to trust anybody. We are afraid to commit ourselves to anybody. Now, it is true. If you commit to anybody, one day you will be burned. That's true. Because no one is trustworthy. That is very true. But we treat God in the same way as we treat other people. We feel safe to hold ourselves in our own hands. We have confidence in the flesh. Even in spiritual things, we have confidence in the good flesh of ours. And because of this, we will not let go ourselves and commit all to Christ. Brothers and sisters, we like to hold ourselves in our own hands. In other words, we like to be in control. When we ourselves are in control, we are secure. Brothers and sisters, but one day, when the testing shall come, you shall see how weak is your flesh. The Apostle Paul, he says, we are the circumcision who have no confidence in the flesh, who worship in the Spirit. We ought to be people who have been circumcised, not the circumcision outwardly, but the circumcision of the heart. In other words, we need the cross to cut across our flesh, that we have no confidence in our flesh. Just like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good. Now, brothers and sisters, that is circumcision. One day you come to see that in you, that is in your flesh, your natural man, your old flesh, there is no good. You cannot trust Him. He has neither wisdom, nor strength, nor power. And when you come to see this, then you're able to let go yourself and let Christ take over. So I think probably one reason why we dare not commit ourselves, it is because we still have confidence in our flesh. And to the flesh, there is always that fear of letting go. But how foolish it is if we have confidence in our flesh and no confidence in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know Him. I know who He is. He is my King, my Lord, my all. And because He is such to me, therefore, I'm fully persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. And you know, with Apostle Paul, he did not commit to the Lord a little. He committed his all to the Lord. How much, dear brothers and sisters, do we commit ourselves to the Lord? You know, if you read the Word of God, you'll find, for instance, in Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto Jehovah, and rely upon Him. He will bring it to pass, and He will bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit thy way unto the Lord. You know, this world is a wilderness. Just like the children of Israel, when they traveled through the wilderness, there was no way. If they were to be left on their own, no doubt they would be lost in the wilderness. But thank God you'll find the pillar of fire and of cloud led their way. The ark of God led their way. Now we live in this world. It's a wilderness. How do we know where to go that will lead us to our home? Commit thy way unto the Lord. We do not know. There are many ways that we think they are good, but they lead to destruction. We do not know the way. How to go through this world, we don't know. We have to commit our way unto the Lord and rely upon Him. Let the Spirit of God who dwells within us lead us. With the children of Israel, they have the ark leading them, the pillar of fire and cloud leading them. But with us, we have something even better, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and He will teach us in all things. The life of Christ in us is the light of man. He will show us the way. Rely on Him. And if we rely on Him, He will bring it to pass. In other words, He will lead us home. And He will bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. In other words, He will lead us in the right way, that we will not fall to the right or to the left, but we will go straight. Trust, commit your way to the Lord. And then in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto Jehovah, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, not only we need to commit our way to the Lord and let him lead us in the way of righteousness, in the way of everlasting life, but we need to commit our works to the Lord. Whatever we do, whether it is our job or it is our service to the Lord, we need to commit all our works to the Lord, and then our thoughts shall be established. In other words, we will find that it is his thoughts, it is his strength. Commit our works to the Lord. No matter what we do, commit our works to him, and he will take care of us. Then in Job chapter 5, verse 8, but as for me, I will seek unto God, and unto God commit my course. Commit my course. You know, brothers and sisters, we live in this world, and this world is difficult. You find that you are faced with many problems. Sometimes misunderstanding. And it is quite a struggle in life, you know. But if we commit our course to the Lord knows, you know. People may misunderstand, misinterpret, or sometimes you're faced with problems that you do not know how to solve. Commit your course to the Lord. Just commit it. And then you will find he will be your solution. He will justify you. Commit your course to the Lord. And again, go back to Psalm 31. Verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, Jehovah, thou God of truth. We not only commit our way, our work, our course to the Lord, but we commit our spirit to the Lord. Now, who is able to keep our spirit? You know, if a person is able to keep his spirit, it is even stronger, mightier than taking a city. But how can we keep our spirit? That is, in the right spirit. Sometimes our spirit is provoked. Sometimes our spirit can be defiled. And that's the reason why in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 it says, purify yourself from the defilements of the flesh and of the spirit. See, our spirit is important because it is by our spirit that we commune with God. But sometimes our spirit can be defiled, can be agitated, can lose its coolness. Now, how can we keep our spirit in tune with the Spirit of God? You know, spiritual life is a life in the Spirit. So if there is something wrong with the Spirit, then your whole spiritual life is on the wrong path. Now, do not think people say, well, I follow my spirit, but your spirit may be a wrong spirit. You know, the two disciples of our Lord Jesus, the sons of Zebedee, the two sons of thunders, you remember in Luke it said, when the Samaritans did not receive our Lord Jesus, now the two sons of Zebedee came to the Lord and said, Lord, they did not receive you. Will you allow us to call fire from heaven to burn up us? And you know, our Lord was on the way to Calvary. In other words, His Spirit is the Spirit of the Lamb. But the spirit of the two disciples are the spirit of what? Of the beast. And the Lord said, you do not know what spirit you have. Brothers and sisters, our whole spiritual life depends upon our spirit. But sometimes our spirit can be misled. And when our spirit is misled, the whole being is gone. See, that's the reason why you find all these cults and the cults and things like that. Now, how can we keep our spirit pure? We cannot. Commit your spirit to the Lord. Thou hast redeemed me, Jehovah, thou God of truth. If we commit our spirit to Him, then He will keep us in the truth. Not only our spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, our soul. We need to commit our soul to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore also let them who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. You know, we live in a world that if you want to follow the Lord, if you want to do the right thing, you will meet many, many troubles, many, many oppositions, accusations, persecutions, misunderstanding, all kinds of things. And if it depends upon ourselves, we will give up. We'll be fainted, discouraged, in well-being, in well-doing. We need to commit our souls to the Lord. He is faithful. He knows. And if we commit our souls to the Lord, our emotion, our feeling, our thoughts, our will, we commit ourselves to the Lord, then our soul enters into rest. He is the only one who can keep our soul. We cannot keep it ourselves. See, our emotion can be very easily disturbed. A tiny little thing can disturb our emotion. And our imagination can run wild and imagine things. And even our will. Sometimes it's passive. Sometimes it is hard. Only the Lord, the lover of our souls, is able to keep our soul in rest. And not only our soul, even our body. That's Romans 12:1. Therefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How can we keep this body? We cannot keep it. Commit. Commit to the Lord. If we commit our bodies to the Lord, He will keep our body pure, blameless, undefiled. That is the only way. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find, if you search the scripture, you'll find what the scripture says is, commit your all to the Lord. Do not hold back anything from Him. If you hold back anything from Him, the enemy knows it. And that will be that area which will be the cause of your fall. The only way that we can be kept in this world, through this world, is to commit everything to the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to commit our spirit, our soul, our body, our way, our work, our course. In other words, we need to commit everything to the Lord. Lord, You have redeemed us. You are our all. So You have our all. And if we commit our all to the Lord, You will find He will keep us until that day. You know, the big problem today is, how can we keep ourselves from being defiled, distracted? How can we keep ourselves to the day that we see His face? We may run very well in the beginning, but we may fade out in the middle. How can we know that we will fight the good fight to the very end? That we will keep the faith to the very end? How? Brothers and sisters, that is a big problem. We cannot depend upon ourselves. The only way is to let Him keep hold. Commit yourself. Commitment. To some people, commitment is a terrible thing because it gets out of your hands. But if you know whom you have committed, it is the most peaceful, blessed thing. Because you know you are in good hands. Not State Farm. You are in the good hands of the Lord Jesus. Do not hold back anything, brothers and sisters. We are living in a day that if you hold back anything, that thing will be your downfall. You have to commit everything to the Lord. Because He committed Himself all to you. You know whom you have committed. And Paul said, until that day. Now what is that day? You know, the Bible tells us a number of days. This day or that day. Now what is this day? You know, the day here may not mean a day of 24 hours. It may mean a period. It may mean a time with certain specific features. For instance, the Bible says the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? It is the day of judgment. A terrible day that will be coming one day upon this world. Now, what is until that day? What is until that day? Now that day is the day of Christ. It is the day of Christ that Apostle Paul talked about in the Philippians. He said that you may come to the day of Christ blameless. It is the day that we as God's people will all appear before Christ. It is the day of His coming, His parousia, His presence. It is the day when we shall all gather together before Him. It is a glorious day, but it can be a terrible day too. In what sense? Because one day, when we shall all appear before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, thank God we are saved. Christ has judged for us on Calvary's cross. Therefore, we will not stand before the great white throne judgment, that judicial judgment of eternal life and eternal death. Thank God that is solved. The brothers and sisters, as the family of God, when we shall gather together in His presence, that is, in the day of Christ, remember, that is the day of the judgment seat of Christ. It is not a throne judgment. It is a seat judgment. Bema. It is not a judicial judgment. It is a family judgment. When we shall all be gathered together before Him, then He will judge His family according to the works that we have done on earth after we enter His family. Some may deal with gold, silver, and precious stones. Some may deal with wood, stubble, and hay. And that day will reveal everything. You know, today we do not know who is more spiritual, who is less spiritual, who is more committed, who is less committed. Nobody knows. We may think certain brothers and sisters, they are very spiritual, and yet on that day you may find that is wood, hay, and stubble. Or others that people may not notice, thinking that, well, who is that little brother or little sister? And yet on that day you may find he shines. Who knows? We do not know. But the Lord knows. On that day fire shall appear. The Lord is the burning fire. And He will test every one of us to see how much we are committed to Him. Brothers and sisters, whatever has been committed to Him is kept at that day. But all that has not been committed to Him will not be kept for that day. That's the difference. Paul's desire is that he may stand before the Lord without being ashamed. He may stand before the Lord holy and blameless. That is Paul's desire. And brothers and sisters, that is what the Lord wants us to be. He does not want us to meet Him with shame, that we feel ashamed. And He is ashamed of us. If that be the case, woe be to us. Oh, how it is the desire that He may receive us, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. Because that is what He is looking for. And how it should be our prayer that when we see Him, He will not be ashamed of us. Because we know whom we have believed. And we have committed our all to Him. And we know He has kept all for us. So brothers and sisters, the burden in my heart is really this. We are living at the closing of this age. Time will not be easier. It will be more and more difficult. Testings will be more severe. Trials will be more heavy. Brothers and sisters, how can we be kept pure, untouched for the Lord? You know, that is my burden. And I do feel, I do believe that here is the way. I know whom I have believed, and I'm fully persuaded that He's able to keep that which I committed to Him until that day. So, brothers and sisters, if you have not committed yourself, your all to the Lord, do it today. Do not wait, because we do not know what's going to happen. We do not know what goes to happen tomorrow. Things are changing so fast these days. You know, as we come to the closing of the days, things are changing overnight. In a few hours, everything will be changed. Our only assurance is in the Lord. You know, where is the perseverance of the saints? Not in the saints, but in the Lord. Our perseverance is in Him. But He cannot keep that which you have not committed. You know, He does not want to force anything on you. Even though He loves you very much, He knows. And yet, if you do not commit to Him, He will not force it on you. But neither can He keep it for you. For Him to keep, you have to commit. Commitment is the most blessed thing in life. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be afraid to commit yourself to the Lord, because this is blessing. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we do praise and thank Thee, because Thou hast given Thy beloved Son to us, and He has given His all to us. We do praise and thank Thee because we do know whom we have believed. We acknowledge that we do not know Thee enough, and because of that, we dare not commit enough to Thee. Lord, we acknowledge our foolishness in keeping ourselves away from Thee, keeping things in our own hands. Lord, we do pray that Thou open our understanding. Pray that Thou will enlarge our vision of Thyself. Oh, pray that we may commit all to Thee, because Thou art the only one who is able to keep us in this dark time. So, Lord, do bless our brothers and sisters, that when we shall see Thee, we will not be ashamed, but we may hear Thy voice, good, faithful servants. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.